Turn in your Bibles tonight, Deuteronomy 34. Deuteronomy 34, we're going to read verses 1 to 6. I'll be in a couple of other places tonight as I'm on Wednesday nights going through a series called Life's Many Mountains. And we're discussing on Wednesday nights the different mountains of the Bible and what they mean. So I'll be in Deuteronomy 34, I'll also be in Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14, and then my last one, my third one, will be Matthew 17. Matthew 17, Joshua 14, and Deuteronomy 34. You find those three places tonight, you'll be in good shape. Deuteronomy chapter 34, we're going to get in verses 1 to 6 here in just a minute. We understand in life that we face many different kinds of mountains. We've talked about the different mountains that we face, so we've talked about a couple of mountains that we often face in our life and how God gave victory to Elijah when he was on Mount Carmel. So we have the mountains of victory that we are able to possess. And we also talked about the other week Mount Moriah and Mount Ararat and all these different mountains. Lord, what a blessing they were. And so as we get into the text tonight, we're going to talk about three different mountains this evening that I think will as well be a blessing to you. And so as we take a look at it, Deuteronomy chapter 34, let's read verses 1 to 6, and then let's get into the meat of our message. The Bible says, "And Moses went up from the plains of Moab unto the mountain of Nebo, to the top of Pisgah that is over against Jericho. And the Lord showed him all the land of Gilead unto Dan, and all Naphtali, and the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, and all the land of Judah unto the utmost sea. And the south of the plain of the valley of Jericho, the city of the palm trees unto Zor. And the Lord said unto him, This is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. So Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he buried him in a valley in the land of Moab, over against Beth Peor. And no man knoweth of his sepulchre unto this day." As we look in Deuteronomy 34, and we look at the first few verses, one of the things we see is that this mountain right here, we see Moses is towards the end of his life. And the Bible says that he goes up to Mount Nebo. And when he is up there on Mount Nebo, for one, the Mount Nebo actually means Nebo. The word Nebo actually means proclaimer or prophet or one who prophesies. That's what Nebo means. And so as he went up to Mount Nebo, there was something that was going to see as really a proclamation, because that's kind of what Nebo is, to be a proclaimer, a prophet who proclaims, or a vision, so to speak. And so from this mountain, Moses was able to do a couple of things. From this mountain, Moses was able to see the promised land that God had promised to his people. Now, this was a mountain that God had proclaimed that he would give to his people. This was a valley. This promised land was a land that God promised that he would give to the nation of Israel. And from this mountain, he was able to see the things that God had proclaimed that the people would have. Notice he says there in verse 4, about the middle part of the verse, he says, "I will give it unto thy seed." And so we see there that was a proclamation that God had said many years ago. And he was also letting him know right now that this is something I didn't just say that I was going to give you. This is something that I'm telling you right now that I'm going to give your people. And I'm having you to come up to the top of this mountain so you can see what it is that I have proclaimed to you all these years, so that you can see the promised land that I promised, that I proclaimed that I would give you. And so we see here that on this mountain of proclamation, that regardless of how long it takes to get there, regardless of the obstacles that we have to face, if God said that they could have it, then that means that they're going to have it. Because I tell you what, the promised land was a place that God had told his people that they could have a long time ago. God told his people that they could have the promised land years ago. But there was one thing that kept them from going into the promised land. And what was that? It was their lack of faith. God told his people many years ago that they could have the promised land, and the spies go in and they look around at everything and they say, oh yes, this place is great. It is just as God has said. I mean, look, they even brought the fruit of the land back so everybody could see. And so they saw what the land was about. They saw what the land could provide. And God said, if you'll go in there and possess it, I will go before you and I will give it to you. But their lack of faith in God and their lack of vision and their lack of faith in themselves kept them from having and attaining what God had proclaimed to them that they could have. Part of the whole reason why for them coming out of the land of Egypt was for them to go to the land of promise. I mean, that was part of what that was all about. I'm going to call you up out of the land of Egypt. I'm going to turn you into somebody. I'm going to turn you into your own nation. And then I'm going to give you the promised land. I mean, they went through all kinds of things to get to this point. And then they turned around and went back the other way. And God caused them to walk around in the wilderness for 40 years. And now here we see. Now here we see Moses. He has now ascended Mount Nebo. And Mount Nebo, Nebo meaning proclamation. And so God was using this mountain right here to prophesy in essence to Moses and to the people that this is the land that I said that I would give you. This is the land that I promised you that I would let you have. And I want you to see that I am proclaiming to you today that I am a God of my word. That if I said that you're going to have it, you can have it. If I said I'm going to take you from here and put you over here, then that's what I'm going to do. If I said I'm going to change your life, then I'm going to change your life. If I said I'd be there with you and I would fight for you, then I will. And God was using that very mountain to proclaim these great truths. And so Mount Nebo, the mountain of proclamation, and even though it took them a while to get there, even though they faced some difficult times and faced adversities and all these different kinds of things, even though they faced a lot of obstacles, it was understood by ascending Mount Nebo that if God said that they could have it, if God promised that they would come into that land, then God is a man of his word because God cannot lie. And so that's what Mount Nebo is. Mount Nebo is a mountain of proclamation. It is a mountain that demonstrates that God is who he says he is, that God is a man of his word. Despite the adversities that we face, despite how things may look, despite the fact that we may walk around in the wilderness, it seems like for a very long time before we get to where we're going, God said that his people could have it. And so God is a God of his word. And so when he ascended Mount Nebo, the Bible says that God showed him the land. Notice what he says there in verse 4. And about the middle part of verse 4, he says, I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes. And so we see that it was a mountain of proclamation. Moses, I said that I would give it unto you, a mountain of proclamation. Despite how long it takes to get there, despite the adversities that you face, I said I would give it to you. I remember thinking, as I was preparing this message, I was thinking back to moments and times in my life. I was thinking about whenever God called me to preach, and I remember sitting down, me and my wife, we sat down, and we was like, well, Lord, if you want me to preach, then God, I'm going to have to get rid of this debt, I'm going to have to get rid of this, and Lord, you're the only one that can do that. And it wasn't but a couple of weeks later, somebody knocked on the door of my house and asked me if I thought about selling my home. I said, well, sure. And so we sold our house. And so when we sold our house and I went to Bible college, and then while I was in Bible college, God moved and done all kinds of things. I said, Lord, if you want me to go to Bible college, then God, you're going to have to provide a way. I don't have the money to do this. And God, if this is what you want me to do, then you're going to have to provide a way for me to do it. And God provided the whole time in all different kinds of ways. And I was able to graduate Bible college and have any debt whatsoever. And I tell you what, my God is a great God. And God let me know, and God let me see very early and very, very quick, that if I would just follow Him and I would trust in Him, that He is a man of His word. That He is a man of His word, that He is a God of His word, and that if God was calling me to preach, then God would be able to provide for me everything that I needed to be able to do so. So Mount Nebo serves as a mountain of proclamation, but notice what it also is. He says, I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes. It's not just a mountain of proclamation, it's a mountain of vision. Mount Nebo was also a mountain of vision. Moses climbed to the top of that mountain. He saw the promised land. He saw the promised land from a perspective that nobody else had. He saw the promised land from a different view. God showed Moses what was beyond the horizon. And let me tell you something. We face mountains in life. We face mountains in life that is in essence a call to vision. We need a people with a vision today. We need a people that can look beyond the horizon. We need a people that can see some things that are not there, because that's what faith is. Amen? We walk by faith, not by sight. We need a people that can look beyond the walls, a people that can look beyond the borders. We need a people that can look beyond the obstacles and all the difficulties. We need a people that can look beyond that with a vision and see something that's there that nobody else can see. And that's what Moses did. He ascended that mountain, and when he got up on top of that mountain, the Bible says that God showed him all the land. The Bible says that God showed him all the promised land. And so from that point, Mount Nebo also became a mountain of vision, and God gave him the ability to see things from a perspective that nobody else could see. And that's what we need today. We need people that will ascend the mountain of vision and have the ability to see things that nobody else can see. Folks that will walk by faith and not by sight. Folks that will just trust in God and believe in God at His word. So Mount Nebo became a mountain of vision. How many of us tonight have no vision? How many of us tonight are lacking in vision? How many of us tonight are looking at maybe our personal lives and we're saying, well, maybe we're looking at our homes, we're looking at our families, we're looking at our situations at work, or whatever it is, we're looking at it and we're saying, well, this is a lost cause. What's the point? What's the use? And all these different kinds of things that tend to flood our mind, you know, and discouragement. But as these things begin to flood our mind, we have to make sure that we understand that God needs us to be a people of vision, that when these moments come, these feelings and these emotions and these distractions and obstacles, when they come into our life, we have to see that, listen, we got to have a vision. We got to see something for that it's better, that it can be better, and that it is better than what it really is. Hey, can my personal life be better? Sure it can. Am I just going to be satisfied with the life that I'm living, or am I going to do something about it? Oh, I don't like this about myself. I don't like this. I don't like this. I need to change this. I need to change that. Am I going to do anything about it, or am I just going to keep going the same direction, doing the same thing, and being just as unsatisfied tomorrow as I was unsatisfied with myself today? Or am I going to do something about it? Do I believe I can be changed? Do I think God can change me? Do I believe God can do something in me and through me? Well, of course I do. Well, if you do, then let God do something in you and through you, and be a person of vision. See what God sees. Listen, when God saved you, you was lost, you was a sinner, and you was on your way to a devil's hell. You had all kinds of sins written against you, and so there was so many things that you had to answer for in your life. And so if God looked at your life, He'd have said, you know what, man, excuse me. He'd have looked at this individual. He'd have looked at you and He'd have said, you know what? What in the world could I do? What in the world could I possibly do with this person right here? I mean, look at how bad they are. Look at how sinful they are. But you know what? God looked beyond what you are and saw what you could be. God looked beyond what you are. He saw what you could be. And so He looked past your sin. He looked past who you are. He looked beyond where you are at right this minute. Because God says, yeah, He may be right here today, but I know He can get over here. He may be going through, He may believe this way right now, and he may be all mixed up in this, and He may be in this sin, but I know that I can get Him to this point over here. See, God has a vision for us. The Bible says He has a plan for us, plan for every single one of us. And so God has a vision for us, for our life. God looks beyond who we are. God looks beyond where we're at right now, and because God can already see in the future what you can be if you'll just trust and believe and rely on Him. Trust and believe and rely on Him. And so Mount Nebo became a not only a mountain of proclamation, but Mount Nebo became a mountain of vision. Now let's go over to Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14. And as we move over to Joshua chapter 14, let's pick up in verse 7. Joshua chapter 14, verse 7, we see Caleb. The Bible says, as he is speaking there in verse 7, he says, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. That's 85. As of yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be that the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh of the Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb. Now, as we look here and go back to verse 7, there's some things I want you to see. Now, as we understand, Mount Hebron, of course, as we see, Caleb said, I want that mountain. So what does Mount Hebron mean? What does Hebron mean? Well, Hebron, we see, has the idea, actually, Hebron means alliance. Hebron means alliance. And we see that this mountain represents a mountain of possession. But the word Hebron means alliance. You say, well, why does Hebron mean alliance? Because notice what Caleb said there in verse 12. The middle part of verse 12, notice what he said. He said, if so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. So when we understand that when we are in an alliance with God, that all things become possible. Amen. When we are in an alliance with God, all things become possible. Mount Hebron, the word Hebron means alliance. And so Caleb was in an alliance with God because he says, I have wholly followed the Lord. And as a matter of fact, that's what Caleb's name means. Caleb's name means holy, wholehearted, or wholly following God. That's what Caleb's name means. To wholly follow the Lord. To be wholehearted and to follow God. And so we see here in the text that this man who was wholehearted, this man that was wholehearted, wholly following the Lord, was in agreement, was in alliance, was in belief and trust with the God of heaven that he could take this mountain. And because he was in an alliance with God, because he was walking with God and trusting in God and believing in God, God was going to give him that mountain that he said he wanted. Anybody here tonight? Y'all here tonight? Say amen if you're here. Amen. All right. And so, we see that Mount Hebron becomes a mount of possession. A mount of possession because we are in an alliance with God. Caleb was in an alliance with God. He was wholehearted, wholly following the Lord. And the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? God be for us, who can be against us? The Bible says that He is my fortress, that He is my shield, that He is my buckler, He is my high tower. And so by all natural means, when we look at what Caleb did, by all natural means, we see that there is no way that Caleb should have been able to win this mountain. There was no way that Caleb should have had victory over this mountain, but because he was in an alliance with God. And because he was in an alliance with God, because he was wholehearted in following the Lord, and he said, I want that mountain, God gave him victory. Well, let me ask you this tonight. How many of you are facing one of life's many mountains and you're looking at it and it's a big mountain? And you're wondering if you'll be able to have victory over it. What is one of the key things that's going to help you tonight to have victory over the mountains that you're facing tonight in your life? And one of those things is this, is be wholehearted like Caleb. Be wholehearted in following God like Caleb. The next thing is to make sure that you are in an alliance with God. Make sure that you are right with God and that you're walking with God, because you don't want to be against God. You don't want to be going in this direction and God going in the other direction. Because the Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? And so Caleb said, I want this mountain. And God was going to give it to him. God was going to give him victory over this mountain because he was following him. Because his heart was right with God. And because God had told them a long time ago, God told Caleb a long time ago through Moses, I'm going to give you this mountain. This mountain belongs to you. This mountain is yours. And that was 45 years ago up to this point. And now here he is looking at that mountain that God said I could have 45 years later. I believe God is a man of his word. God is the God of his word. God said you could have it. God was going to give it to him. And there wasn't any amount of time that was going to nullify God's promise. If God said you could have it, then God was going to give it. If God says I'll promise to give it to you, then God's going to give it to you. And so we see that Mount Hebron becomes a mountain of possession. A mountain of possession because he says, I want this mountain. And whenever he looked at this mountain, what did he see? When he looked at this mountain, what are some things that he faced? Well, the Bible shows us here in the text. The Bible shows us here in the text that there were giants that were up there. Notice verse 12. The Bible says the Anakim were there and the cities were great and fenced. So he knew that he couldn't do it on his own. But notice the next thing he says, but if the Lord be with me, then I can do it. So he knew that by natural means there was no way possible that he was going to be able to attain victory. But he knew that if he was in an alliance with God, which is what Hebron means, if I'm in an alliance with God and I follow him and I trust in him, then God will go before me and God will give me the victory. So let me ask you this. The mountains that you're looking at tonight, the mountains that you're facing tonight, are you wondering, can I have victory over this? I desire victory over it. I want victory over it. Can I have victory over it? Well, let me tell you, you can. And you can have victory over it. You just need to make sure that you are in an alliance with God, that you are following God, that you're walking with God. You say, well, preacher, you don't understand what giants I'm facing on this mountain. Because I'm looking at this mountain, and when I look at this mountain, it's a big mountain, and there's a lot of giants that live on this mountain. There's a lot of giants that inhabit this mountain that I'm going to have to defeat before I can take the whole thing. Okay, well, what is it? Maybe there are giants of fear that live on this mountain. Anybody ever been afraid before? Yeah. Maybe there are giants of fear that live on this mountain. You need victory over this mountain. You want victory over this mountain. But there are giants that live on this mountain, and you're going to have to slay all of them before you can have it. And he knew that he couldn't do it on his own. He says, the cities are great. The fences are walled up to heaven, in essence, you know. And he says, but if God will go with me, if God will help me, then I can do it. So he had an alliance with God. And he knew that one of the ways that he was going to get victory on this mountain was that he was going to have to slay these giants that were on this mountain. And one of those giants may have been fear. Maybe one of the giants you face tonight. It may have been a giant of discouragement. Everybody ever been discouraged before? You ever been discouraged before? Think about that. Listen, the giant of discouragement, the devil will use the giant of discouragement to keep you from doing anything. If the devil can discourage you, if the devil can discourage you to keep going on, if the devil can discourage you to keep pressing forward, if the devil can discourage you so much where he can obscure your vision that you had. Because you think about this. At one time, you had a vision for this. And with that vision came something else. With that vision came passion. But you see, the vision has to have a passion. If the vision don't have passion, the vision's going to fall apart. Amen? You have to have passion for your vision. If you don't have passion for your vision will stop whenever your passion does. Think about that. Your vision will stop when your passion does. Do you have passion to see people get saved? Do you have passion to go on soul winning? Do you have passion? Are you passionate about being the best Christian man or woman, whatever it is you can be? Are you passionate? What is your passion? What are you passionate about? Think about this. When you lift weights or when you exercise or whatever it is that you do that you enjoy doing, you do that because you have a passion for it. You enjoy it. You have a passion for it. But you stop doing it when you lose your passion. Does that make sense? Or you stop enjoying it when you lose your passion. Sometimes you may keep doing it, but you don't enjoy doing it no more. You know why? Because you lost your passion for it. You lost your passion for it. Yeah. And man, he had a passion. He says, I want this mountain. I want this mountain. And the devil can use discouragement to obscure our vision so that we no longer have a passion. And if he can destroy our passion, then down goes our vision. And when our vision goes down, so goes down our future and our possibilities and our opportunities. Simple as that. Kind of like knocking down dominoes. You start right here, you hit this one, and then this goes down, and this goes down, and this goes down, and this goes down. The devil's been doing it for a long time. Doing it for a long time. You say, I want this mountain. But maybe you're not going to be able to get this mountain until you fight some of these giants. You say, well, I can't defeat these giants. These giants are too great. These giants are too big. Well, I tell you what, get an alliance. Find a partner. Partner up with God because Hebron means alliance. And I tell you what, if you'll partner up with God and you say, God, I want this mountain, but there's some giants on this mountain I got to defeat, then you follow God with a whole heart, just like Caleb, which is what his name means, and you say, God, I want this mountain, but I can't do it without you. I need your help. And God will give you the victory for it. God will give you the victory. But you may be facing giants of fear, giants of discouragement, the giants of the world, the devil himself, the giants of bitterness, the giants of jealousy, the giants of depression, the giants of addictions. Man, people suffering hard with that stuff. The giants of the past. Amen. Yeah. All these giants that live and dwell on this mountain. All these giants that are sitting there behind these gates and fences walled up to heaven. And then he's looking at it, he's saying, how in the world can I win? How can I have victory? He says, I can't do it. It's not possible. But if I have an alliance with God and I follow him with all my heart, we can do it. That's what he's saying. And so you can slay those giants. He had the heart. He had a passion. He said, I want that mountain. That's a passion. He had a vision. He'd been carrying this vision ever since Moses said he could have that mountain 40-some years ago. You ever wanted something for a long time? You ever wanted something for a long time? Maybe whatever it was, long time ago. He said, man, I sure would like to have that. Or, man, I sure would like to go there. Or, I sure would like to do this. And the years go by, and the years go by, and the years go by, and it stays on your mind one of these days, one of these days, one of these days, one of these days. Well, now here he is, 40-some years later. And there it is. It's right there. He can literally walk over to it and touch it. And he's been thinking about this mountain for over 40 years. And he's looking at that mountain. He sees all these giants and all these big cities and all. He's looking at all of it. But you know what he did? Because he was a person of vision, he assailed the mountain of vision. And he saw beyond the bars. He saw beyond the gates. He saw beyond the obstacles. And he saw beyond the realm of impossibility to what it could be. And he said, I want it. He was going to take it and make it his own. And that's what we got to do. We got to grab hold of it. We got to have the same passion. We got to have the same desire. We got to say, God, I want this mountain. And until you say that, and until you have that passion about it, are you ever going to be able to have it? Because the giants will come your way and they'll discourage you. This one will come up with fear. The giant of discouragement will come up. The giant of jealousy and bitterness. The giant of the past. The giants of addictions and a whole host of other things. I want that mountain. The third mountain we're going to talk about tonight before we close. I want you to go over to Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. I was sitting at the house tonight and I was going over my message. I needed one more mountain. And there's many mountains of the Bible, and I was trying to debate on which one I wanted to study on and which one I wanted to preach on. And I said, God, I need one more mountain. As I was thinking about Joshua and thinking about Caleb and Caleb saying, I want that mountain. And God gave me a verse, Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20. And he gave me another mountain. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20, the Bible says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. You say, well, preacher, it doesn't really say what the mountain is. Well, it does. It's just underlining. This is the mountain of impossibility. This is the mountain of impossibility. I'm glad tonight when I face these mountains in my life that I know that I serve a God where nothing's impossible. In life, we face mountains impossible for us to do anything with in our own strength. And so we understand that there are moments and there are times where we become totally dependent on the power of God. I wonder if sometimes, think about this, and God gave me this as I was putting this together this afternoon. I wonder sometimes if we're trying to climb mountains that we're not supposed to be climbing. Think about it. I wonder if sometimes we're trying to climb mountains we're not supposed to be climbing. You say, you sure, preacher? Well, why don't you take a look at this text? Notice he says, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove from hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. Let me ask you something. In the middle part of that verse, he says, ye shall say unto this mountain. Did it say anything about climbing it? Did it say anything about doing anything on it? All he said was, you shall say to this mountain. I think sometimes there are some mountains in life that we're trying to climb that aren't meant to be climbed. They're meant to be moved. Does that make sense? I was sitting at the table tonight and I said, God, I need one more mountain. And God gave me this verse and I began to look at it. And it was like God spoke to my heart. And it was like God said, Brian, understand something. He says, there's a lot of people spending a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of energy and a lot of resources trying to climb the mountains of impossibility, and it can't be done. Because there are some mountains that aren't meant to be climbed. There are some mountains that are just meant to be moved. And I can't move a mountain. But if I have the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, God can. God can. How many of us are trying to climb mountains that we don't even have no business even being on? How many of us are wasting all of our time and our effort and our energy and our resources and all these things trying to scale this mountain of impossibility? And we're never going to make it. Never going to make it. It's impossible. There's nothing that we can possibly do. We're too weak. We're not strong enough. We're not powerful enough. And yet we're still trying to do it on our own anyway. And then we fall. We fall again. And then we get discouraged. And the devil comes by and he says, see, you had a vision you was going to climb that mountain. Yeah. You thought God was going to do something there for you. And you had a vision. You was going to climb that mountain. And look how many times you done fail. You can't do that. And then your heart gets so discouraged you no longer have a passion for your vision, and now you're not even doing anything anymore. And now the devil's got you exactly where he wants you. Sometimes we're climbing mountains we don't even need to be on. Sometimes we come up to a mountain and we say, God, I know I can't do nothing with this. God, this is beyond me. All I can do is just give it to you and say, God, you're going to have to do something with this one. You're going to have to do something with this one. mountains of impossibility. Sometimes people are looking at their life and they're thinking their own lives, and they're saying, "How in the God, what can you do with me? God, I'm so used up. God, I'm such a sinner. God, what could you possibly do with me? I mean, this is the person that I am, and this is what I do, and God, how could you possibly use me?" And then God answers down from heaven, and he says, "Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds." And you say, but Lord, I'm down here in the pit. You just don't understand." And God answers back from heaven, and he says, "My hand is not shortened that it cannot save." We look at our family, we look at our marriage, and we say, "God, how can this be what I want it to be? How can this be what I want it to be?" First, you're going to have a passion for your vision. Don't let the devil obscure your passion for your vision, because once that happens, it's done. It's done. You'll stop. You'll quit. You'll give up. What about my church? Very same thing. If we let the devil here at Gospelite Baptist Church, if we let the devil obscure our vision and deplete our passion for what God knows can be done here, then we won't get anything done. Nothing will happen with me, with you. Some mountains aren't meant to be climbed. They're meant to be moved. So if you're on a mountain tonight and it seems impossible, does it still mean you can't have victory? No. But it may just mean you need to get off of it and ask God to do something about it. And stop trying to do it on your own strength. Stop trying to conquer it yourself and let God do it. Because there are some things. What did God say? Sometimes we just gotta be still and let God be God. Just be still and know that he is God. We come to the mountain, we see it, and we just got to be still and just believe and trust that God's going to do something and ask God to move it. Some mountains don't need to be climbed, they just need to be moved. Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight, we thank you. Lord, for being so good to us, Lord, we understand. You told us in Philippians 4:13 that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. God, I understand that I can't move mountains. I understand that I'm not strong enough. I'm not powerful enough. But I serve a God that can do the impossible. And when I face mountains of impossibility, Lord, help me to see that there are some mountains that I don't need to climb. I just need to move. Help me to see, God, that there are some mountains that are mountains of vision. I need to have a vision in my heart. I need to have a vision in my life, and I need to have a passion for that vision. Help me to see, God, beyond what it is right now to what it can be. Help me to ascend that mountain of vision so that I can look past what it is now. So that I can look beyond the horizon. So that I can see it from a different perspective like Moses did. Lord, help me to be like Caleb. And he said, "I want that mountain." Form an alliance with God. You say, "God, I want this mountain, but there's this obstacle I have to face, and there's this obstacle that I have to face, and God, I can't do this on my own, but if you'll be with me and you'll help me, God, tonight I'm going to form an alliance with you." And as you pray tonight and you ask God to speak to your heart, let God move in your life. Let him speak to you tonight. Father, we come to you this evening. We thank you so much for being so good to us. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for this message tonight. I pray, God, that it was a blessing to folks and that we can walk out of here this evening and take the things we've learned, apply them to our life. And Lord, I pray that you'd keep us safe. Lord, I pray that you'd bless our missions conference coming up here this weekend. I ask, God, you'd use it in a great way. Help us, Lord, do all we can to bring you honor and glory in everything that we do. Keep our missionaries safe. Lord, bring us back to our next appointed time here on Saturday. And we love you and thank you for all we know you're going to do in this. We ask in Jesus' name.